We'll combine animal stories and signatures today on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Shirley Barrett writes about animals and gets letters from celebrities. We'll meet her today on Scribble. Animal stories? How did that happen?
Well, I love animals, first of all. So that's what got me started.
Uh-huh. But what was the occasion? Did you start writing them on your own, or were you asked to?
Well, you know, of course, Creature Feature in the Argus and Dispatch. And of course, noticed that with the animals. And then I thought, I'll start writing stories on animals. So that's how I got started. I've met Elvis. I've met a dog named Merritt.
So do people come to you, or does the Argus ask you, or do you look up people?
I just find them on my own. Uh-huh. I mean, if I'm driving around or whatever, if I see somebody with a dog walking down the street, I have to stop and say, hey, can I do a story on your dog? Uh-huh. So I've had real good luck.
Well, you're sort of a ghostwriter for pets, right?
Yeah.
Because you speak as if you were the animal.
Oh, I know. I just know how they feel. I kind of know how they feel.
So do you try to become the animal?
Yeah, really.
Well, you've done a rat.
Yeah. Yeah, a little pet rat. And
how does one become a rat?
The rat's name was Spock. And he got his name from, is it Star Trek, I believe?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so, hey, he was a fine little rat.
You know, I've gone through a collection of animals from gerbils and chinchillas, dogs and cats, of course, snakes, iguanas. I'm trying to think. We had a pet squirrel for a while, and it's amazing. Animals can kind of get into your life.
Yeah, and you know, and with me, it really doesn't even matter what kind of an animal it is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. I've always said animals, you know, they have feelings too.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And they've got their own little stories to tell.
But is it mostly dogs and cats? I mean, do you get into things like snakes and parrots?
I haven't written one on a snake yet, but I'm willing to.
Oh, I see.
Would. I've written on birds, cats, bearded dragons. It's been a little bit of everybody.
So you have to get the people's permission to this for the Argus,
and,
right?
And I've had real good luck. People really, you know, really is happy that I'm doing it.
What's the most interesting animal you've been?
They're all interesting. I really couldn't really pick one because they've all got their own little deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. What is it about animals? I understand dogs because dogs absolutely give you unconditional love. No matter what you do or anything, they love you. Cats keep their distance a little bit.
Well, I've got my granddaughter has got three cats, Seymour, Oliver, and Charlie. Well, I go visit them often, and I sit on the couch, and here they all three come in there. Charlie jumps on the couch, and I sit there and talk to these cats just like it's a person sitting there. I turn TV on. I tell them, I say, boys, we're going to watch a movie. And they're right there. So, but I think every animal in its own little way is important. Got its own little story to tell.
You know, people thought I was kind of weird because I became interested in snakes, but that's because I was afraid of them. And so I thought I better take a closer look. And they are beautiful animals. A nice, smooth, cool skin. I first, like most people, think snakes are slimy, but they're not. They're like fine leather. And they're interesting in and of themselves. They're not going to give you any affection. You just have to be interested in them.
Yeah.
But the interest in animals, boy, it covers a wide range. It's all
kinds. Yeah, I would like to find a little pig to do a story on.
Well, people have pet pigs.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I need to find a pig to do a story.
I wish you would look at Roll when you say that.
At this point, since you're so well known for it, do people contact you and say, "Can you write my pet up?" Or
no,
I just go out on your own.
I go out on my own every day. I'm out driving around, and if I see somebody walking with a dog, I stop and talk to them. I have, and in just every little way I can, I talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, "Hey, I'll do a story on your animal."
Do you have an email address?
No.
You don't.
But no, and I've got some cards that my son had printed out for me. And it's got creature feature written on it. And I give that card out, which has got my phone number on it.
Okay, and people could track you down through the newspaper, couldn't they?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, you know, that is a fascinating preoccupation. I must say, I've been surprised to see the coverage given to animals in newspapers.
Well, the Argus has a whole page every
week. Yeah, every
Tuesday?
Week. Every week.
I know.
Yeah.
And the first time I saw it, I thought, what is this? Just a one-time feature, but there it is week after week after week.
But I actually wish that more newspapers would do that because it brings more attention to the animals. Mm-hmm. I wish that more would do it. I hope the Argus and Dispatch continues having that page for the animals.
Uh-huh.
Because it doesn't matter what animal it is. Any of them can go on that page.
Well, it's a newspaper equivalent of kittens on YouTube, right?
Yeah. I mean, and the thing with me is I don't know if I meet a dog or whatever, it's almost like that I can just sit down and start talking to them, but it's almost like I can feel what they do. I can feel, you know.
Yeah.
And some people, they say it's just an animal. But that animal has got feelings.
Mm-hmm. Well, your articles do go over well. I know they're read to the blind.
Really?
At Augie, at WVIK.
I like that.
Every Tuesday, so... The people that come in Tuesday, you know, love to read that page.
I had one in yesterday on a dog named Maverick.
Uh-huh.
Well, Maverick is wearing a patriotic thing around his neck. And I ended up that kind of funny because I said, I think that he's saying the Pledge of Allegiance because he had that look.
Right.
He had the look on his face, you know. And then I said, "Good boy."
Do you take the pictures too? The photographs?
Some of them I do.
Okay.
Some of them.
Otherwise, people have them.
People give them to me.
Okay.
You know?
I should point out the Maverick article was back in June. This program is in July.
Right.
So we're recording.
Okay.
Just so people, you have to go back to the archives for that one. But let's get on to signatures. I mean, really.
How did you get started?
Well.
This was back in the 60s,
well,
right?
Well, I've always had an interest in theater.
Yeah.
All my life. So when I was little and growing up in Tennessee, my dad would give me 50 cents. That would take me to the theater on Saturday. That would buy my ticket, my popcorn, my candy.
Mm-hmm.
So I always loved theater. And then it was even at that time I thought there's coming a time and I'm going to correspond with famous people in theater around the world. And then it went from that on up to everybody, mm-hmm. business people, news people, everybody, FBI.
Mm-hmm. Who was your first autograph guy?
First picture I got from a actor was Robert Mitchum. And that would have been in the very early 60s.
How I know you have incredible success getting people to respond to you, not just with, they don't just send you their autograph, they send you letters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And letters that aren't really short, little, here's an autograph.
Yeah. I think I've got letters from Sammy Davis Jr. I got letters from him. I don't know.
So what are the letters about?
I wrote to him one time, and he was in Chicago in the hospital. I wrote to him, and I'd already heard from him anyway. But I wrote to him, and a few days later, here I get this letter from him. He was telling me a little bit about what was not wrong, you know, and this and that. I always liked him, Sammy Davis Jr. Yeah. But then it went from there to Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin.
The Rat Pack.
I got just about all. I even had the rat.
Yeah, you started. Maybe that got you started on animal stories.
But I always had an interest in people, no matter, you know, where they were at or anything.
But they certainly don't respond to everybody who writes in.
I don't know what it is about me, but maybe it's just because of what I write is just plain.
So
down to earth.
So when you write
fancy.
When you write to somebody, what do you say?
Well, I just tell them that I've been doing this for years, and that if they get a chance, I would love to get an autograph picture and this and that. And I explain that that this is something that I've, you know, always wanted to do. And some of these letters I've got, I mean, they're really interesting. And even J. Edgar Hoover. FBI.
You heard from him?
Oh, yeah. In the early 60s, yeah. Yeah. So
if I heard from J. Edgar Hoover, I'd be nervous.
But, I mean, I heard from him, and I've heard from Postmaster Generals. I've heard from Mr. Honda Motors. His letter's probably about 30 years old.
So why would you write to Mr. Honda of Honda Motors?
Oh, I don't know. I just thought I'd write to him. But his letter is probably 30 years old, and he even autographed me a little picture. And, of course, it came from Tokyo. Uh-huh. And I've still got the envelope, the picture, and the letter.
Where do you keep all this?
I got them in albums.
Mm-hmm.
Those albums are pretty thick.
How many do you have?
Probably a little over 2,000.
Not albums, but...
Pictures. Pictures, letters.
Uh-huh.
I've written to a lot of them on Broadway. I've heard from Yul Brynner when he was on Broadway in The King and I.
You know, that's something that a lot of people used to do, but I don't think they do that much anymore.
I don't think so. I must be the only one left that's writing letters. Well, I mean,
no, I
type
think
them
that's
out,
right.
But,
yeah,
but I mean, letter writing is just—I don't know. But you know, people say, "Why don't you email? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that?" I'm happy just doing what I'm doing.
Well, there's something about a letter that you can't duplicate an email.
No, I mean, I'd rather write a letter
starting with a signature
and throw it in the mailbox and take my chance on whatever.
I was talking to someone earlier. Who said her niece, she was talking to her niece one day, and she asked if her aunt could teach her cursive. Imagine that. They don't teach that anymore.
No.
They're starting again.
Yeah, they're starting again, but she was so intrigued when she saw her aunt's writing. She saw that's beautiful, that's graceful. I'd like to do that. And I think, oh, good, teacher, get her to write letters.
And, you know, I mean, writing to me is just, I mean, I'm constantly writing.
Well,
I write it on paper first, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I write like my stories and this and that. But then I type them out. I go to the library and type them out.
Uh-huh.
And so on.
Shirley, just out of curiosity, where in Tennessee are you from?
Kingsport. Yeah.
Is that in the eastern part?
It's down toward Knoxville.
Yeah, I thought that was the case.
Yeah.
I come from Memphis, so I was at the other end.
Really?
Of the street.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I left Tennessee about 1953.
Uh-huh.
So I've been here a long time.
Oh, yeah. I left in 46 and come up to St. Ambrose. Yeah, that's... And I've only been back sporadically a few times. Very few people left down there.
And I don't know. My love for theater and then famous people, all that. And then, of course, my love for animals, it's always been there.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember a time in my life that I didn't have that feeling to write to famous people and do something.
How is it you did not become a veterinarian?
I don't know. I couldn't handle that. I couldn't stand to see an animal be, you know, I couldn't handle that. I'm very, you know, these commercials that's on TV, shows about animals that's been neglected, and that. I can't stand to watch those. I cry. I really do cry. Because I'm thinking, you know, that animal can't help itself. Mm-hmm. If people don't step in and help, what's the animal going to do? It can't do anything.
One of the interesting observations I had from a high school teacher a number of years ago when we went through some very difficult financial times, he said the first thing people do is get rid of their pets.
Aww.
And then they get rid of their kids. And because he was in the, you know, he taught and he knew kids who were not allowed back home again. And but he says it starts with pets, but then it goes with kids. And I thought, I don't see how you could do either one.
Mm-mm.
But I guess in straitened times, people take take strong measures. That's really tough.
But I hope I can. I hope I'm always going to be able to do a story and, you know, on the animals and.
Mm-hmm.
And Shirley, have you ever displayed your collection anywhere? Is that, I mean,
you mean of signatures, right?
Signatures, yeah.
Seemed to me like at one time there was a few that was displayed at the Rock Island Public Library, but that's been a long time, been years.
You would think it would be a really a fun exhibit to.
What I
to
would
set
like
up.
To do, what I would like to do someday is to have a book. Publish a book with those pictures and those letters, and because some of those are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them are priced. I mean, you've got a collection. Yeah. Is there a national organization of autograph collectors, or are you just sort of a lone wolf?
I don't really know.
You
seem like
just
I've always been a lone.
Are there other local people that are interested in?
I don't. There is a person I think in Davenport that buys autographs and this and that.
Okay.
You know? But, I mean, as far as what I'm doing, and that's another thing, I never did pay for an autograph.
Right.
Because I've always written letters and I've always been able to collect them.
Well, then you don't have NFL autographs because they charge.
Right.
Athletes charge.
I think I read someplace that occasionally you'll write a poem to the person.
Oh, I've written poems. I've written all kinds of poems.
That kind of primes the pump, does it? Or?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I got to tell you this one. Okay. You know Smucker's Jelly and Jams.
Yeah.
And then they got the little doughboy.
Right.
Okay. Years ago, I wrote a poem about the little doughboy. That Pillsbury flower was his soul. But anyway, I've still got the letter from the person that was one of the Smucker family. Still got his letter. He wrote me back, and he sent me a little doughboy. Now,
well, you know, you cast your bread upon the waters. You know, sometimes you get back soggy crumbs. But
but anyway, that was just a silly, funny little poem. So a lot of my poems are just funny.
Do you often include a poem?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of serious poems too that's been published, and the thing is, Don. You know, I married when I was 17, so I didn't go on to for education, college, all that. But writing was always there, always.
Yeah. I've discovered, as we've talked to people, and we talk mostly to writers, that a real writer starts and doesn't stop. They just keep going.
Yeah.
And those of us who are obliged to write, you know, we don't have that natural inclination when something occurs to sit down and write. I'll talk, but I don't write.
I think that you've got to have whatever that is inside here to be able to sit down and really write and to put your feelings.
Well,
it takes time, Shirley.
Yeah. It takes time. Yeah. And nowadays, people are so busy being distracted. So many things to take your attention away from, you know, the quiet time that you really need to do some writing. I think back to the time when people would write a draft of a letter to see what they were going to say, and then they would write out the formal letter and send it. And now nobody writes. Maybe you'll send a card. But to write a letter, maybe at Christmas time, you put out a general letter with your Christmas card. But writing letters has almost disappeared, and historians of the future are going to have a heck of a time.
But that's sad, though. Yeah.
When you write to somebody, do you write in cursive?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, sometimes, but then a lot of times I write what I'm going to do, and like he says, then I type it out at
okay.
the library and then mail it in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
do you have many people refuse?
The latest autograph I got is from that Lin Manuel Miranda, the one with the Hamilton play on Broadway.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's the latest one. Really cute picture. I got that.
Shirley, I must say, you have lived an interesting life.
And then I wrote to, just get this, I wrote to one of the wrestlers, WWE. This is the Japanese wrestler, last name is Nakamura or something like that. Just send him a letter. I hope I hear from him. I've kind of watched it along, but when I seen him, I thought, oh my God, I got to write to that guy. Because he's funny. So I did. I wrote a real nice letter. And I said, I hope you, one day you have time to respond. Send me a picture.
You know, that's it. She is animals and people.
Right.
I mean, and it's just like, you know, and hopefully he'll write to me. If he gets my letter done, he will write me.
Okay.
If he gets it.
You do have a way. That's,
I mean,
for
it's
sure,
just,
Shirley.
And like I say, everything is just plain and down to earth and... I don't know. I'm just trying to be myself no matter what.
Well,
know.
Shirley, we'll look forward to your animal stories in the Argus Dispatch, and the great people of the world can look forward to hearing from you. But mostly, we thank you for spending time with us today. And with that, we'll have a little music break. Well, that was a lot of fun.
I still am amazed that she's able to get the autographs she's got. Elizabeth Taylor, Robert Mitchum.
Mr. Rogers. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Sally Ride.
Yeah.
I think that if a person writes from the heart without artifice, you know, then your character comes through. And who would not respond to Shirley?
Right. I think that's right.
And so there's just something in the way she writes, and there's no pretense or anything.
Well,
she's...
the way she picks up her animal story, sees somebody on the street with a dog that looks interesting, and pretty soon, you know, she's got a whole feature. She's interviewed the people. And
yeah, it's a very friendly, outgoing, and as I say, no artifice at all.
Right.
Shirley is just Shirley. And it's a pleasure to run into somebody like that in this day and age. I was talking to some friends the other night about acting. I said, you know, we are all actors. We never display our inner selves completely when we meet other people. We put on a public persona.
Right.
And some of us, you know, who are really public have to put on a really public persona. But so there's some acting, but there's very little acting with Shirley. Who she is right there.
I've never met her. I've heard her and I've read about her in the Argus from time to time about this autograph collection and how fantastic it is. It should be displayed someplace.
Yeah. Oh, my. Well, anyway, watch for animal stories on Tuesday.
Right.
Dispatch Argus. And right now we should watch about, we have a few minutes here for books. Anything of interest?
Last March, the shortlist came out for the National Book Award for novels. There were five novels on it. Four of them I recognized, Sing, Unburied Sing by Jessamine West, which I think everybody expected would win. But there was one that I had never heard of, never seen a review of, called News of the World. And I was intrigued by that. What's this book doing on the list? And other critics said the same thing. How did this get in there? Well, lo and behold, a week later, Carla Miley came up to me and said, here's a book you just have to read. And it was News of the World.
Huh.
It's only 200 pages long. It's beautifully written. It is a simple story of, it takes place just after the Civil War as Texas is trying to decide the future of Texas. And near the northern border of Texas, a Captain Jefferson Kidd, age 71, who's lost his printing business, is making a living setting up, renting a hall in town and reading newspapers from around the world, News of the World.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts on a performance for about an hour. It charges everybody 10 cents, and that's how he makes his living. And then he goes to the next town. A lot of people can't read, and others that can don't have access to the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times or the London Times. And he'll read whatever he thinks is interesting, except for politics, because Texas is in the middle of a fight so politically charged that if you're on the wrong side and you're traveling alone by yourself, you're going to get shot.
You know, things have not changed a lot.
Things are back to normal. But at the northern border, he's hired by an Indian agent to take a 10-year-old girl who was captured at the age of six by the Kiowa and to return back to San Antonio to her relatives. Her parents were killed in the raid that captured her. She, however, has no memory of the life she was or that she's white. She speaks Kiowa. She thinks Kiowa. And the last thing she wants to do is be taken south 400 miles to people she doesn't know. He agrees to do it. And the whole story is simply this 400-mile trip through incredibly hostile territory. It's still Indian territory. There are political figures that say, who did you vote for? And if you say the wrong person, you're dead.
Yeah.
Right? And people who will steal, robbers. And it is just a simple journey, as I said, for only 200 pages, just beautifully written about the relationship between this 10-year-old girl and Captain Jefferson Kidd, the reader who reads news. And along the way, of course, he reads, stops in towns and makes his money by reading news. He's got a wagon, he's got a couple of horses, and slowly he makes his way south. It is, I can see why whoever was on the committee for the National Book Award nominated it.
Yeah. So News of the World, and who was the author again?
Paulette Giles, J-I-L-E-S.
Paula Giles. Yeah, that sounds like a fascinating one. Okay, well, that'll do it for now. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Roll Tweet is here, and I'm Don Wooten. We'll be here again next week, and we hope you will for the next session of Scribble.